Okay. And of course, this is going to be the last session of this series. We do a series of 10, each cycle has got 10 little 30-minute calls in it. And believe it or not, this is the 78th call we've done. We've done seven cycles. And after Christmas, we're going to start our new cycle, which will be starting on January 9th. And, of course, we'll do another 10 cycles. And each of those is every other Wednesday. We do this 30-minute call. And we'll publish post-session notes. And then, of course, we keep the recordings on our website, the brownfieldstoolbox.org. And also, being on the list, we've got probably 100. Someone just joined? Hello?
Hi, this is Aldana Fernandez.
Yes. Hey, how are you?
Good, how are
and
you?
Where are you from? Good. And where are you from?
I had a call in from my cell phone because I couldn't do it from my work office number. It wasn't taking the access code.
Oh, I'm sorry. And what town are you from?
Oh, I'm from the Merrimack Valley Workforce Investment Board in Lawrence, Massachusetts.
Okay, great. We've got lots of people from the Northeast, which is good because there's lots of brownfields up in the Northeast. In fact, Lawrence is one of the older industrial areas and, of course, one of the areas that's got all kinds of brownfields in there.
Yes,
I was mentioning this is the last call of this series, but we're going to be starting again January 9th with another series of calls. HMTRI, of course, is a consortium of community colleges, and we've been working with EPA since the beginning of brownfields. We've been associated with EPA since the beginning of EPA, literally. We've done a lot of work with National Science Foundation, and we don't operate our own job training program, but what we do is we try to help communities start their programs, and once they get started, we try to keep them going and to make them as efficient as possible. So that's the role that we play, and we do this under a cooperative agreement with US EPA. So we don't speak for EPA. We are very familiar with them. I'm a former employer of EPA, but of course we talk off the record, and we usually we've indicated to EPA that they don't come onto our calls. Occasionally they do, but we like to be informal, and if people have issues with them, they could talk freely, and it doesn't really influence what we talk about here. And if someone has a problem with EPA or a problem with the grant or a problem with these programs, they can feel free to talk about it, and it stays within our group. We also are very close to them and can talk to them about issues that we may feel people in the field have. So it gives people out in the communities a voice in EPA and headquarters to help them with their program. Generally, we start these calls with the recent events, what's happening in Washington. So, Glo, do we have any updates from Washington or from Joe?
I'm sorry, this is Richard. I just cut myself off.
That's okay. That's fine. This is very informal. That's good to have you back. Glo, anything new in Washington?
Actually, no. I'm guessing, because they were saying the last time I gave an update that they were hoping to still have the new RFP out in December, but it was more likely that it would happen in mid-January. I'm thinking as we're getting closer to the end of the year, December is not going to happen. I'm thinking that their mid-January time frame is a little more realistic. And that's as much as I've heard. I haven't heard anything other than that, so I'm hoping that they're still on track for that.
Mm-hmm. Generally, things do slow down around holidays,
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't be surprised. It's funny. the way they release these things, it seems to be totally independent. It's generally, we work with Joe Bruss in Office of Solid Waste Emergency Response, but the grants, it probably has all been finalized, but it has to go through all sorts of vetting processes that different people look at. And then at some point it kind of spits out the back. And when it spits out into the Federal Register, it could be any time. You know, it could be mid-January. It could be the day before Christmas. Who knows? You know, sometimes we're surprised that, and even Joe might not even be aware that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, a lot of times Joe doesn't even know until the day of.
Right. They may say mid-January, and then on the 24th, all of a sudden it pops out. And but what we will do is we will inform everyone on the list, on the PLC, that it is out, and we'll be talking about it. While we will not meet between now and January 9th, we'll be sending out, of course, we send out post-session notes every time, but we'll probably also be sending out some little announcements and notes. There's things that we get periodically that from different sources that we feel are helpful to people. For example, I'll be sending out a little paper that was written by the National Employment Law Project, and it's all about employment barriers for people with convictions and arrests. And we get these, and sometimes it's helpful for people to read these articles in developing their program or in improving it. We get a lot of things from the Green Jobs Program and of course, from EPA. And GLOW also posts a lot of these announcements. The other announcements that we also talk about all the time are two conferences, the Green Jobs Conference that's going to be in April. And these will be in the post-session notes. That is a general conference about all sorts of green jobs. They tend to be more oriented towards energy jobs, but they also talk about brownfields and environmental jobs. It's more of a broader stroke, very well connected to the Department of Labor and to organized labor. It's a very large organization. They hold an annual meeting in Washington at the Hilton on April 16th. The one that, of course, we all want to go to is the Brownfields workshop that's held every 18 months. It's going to be in Atlanta this year on May 15th. And I would definitely, if you can make plans to get to Atlanta, this is a conference you really want to go to. There's going to be about 100 different sessions. HMTRI, we will have our own session, and we'll also probably have NIHS on that session. They do job training, environmental job training, and health and safety training. And we'll have the people from EPA there, and we'll have Myra GLOW. I believe Myra is going to be attending.
She's hoping to, yeah.
Myra
not
Blakely
confirmed yet, but she is hoping to be there.
Good. Myra Blakely is responsible for building this program. She didn't start it, but she came in the early days of the Brownfields job training program and has kind of watched it mature. And she recently retired. And she's in South Carolina now, but this is kind of her baby, and she watches over even in retirement. So she'll probably be attending that conference. But we'll be there. All the people from NIHS will be there. The people, all the regions are there, and it's a great time to meet your regional rep. And one of the things we're going to talk about today are things you can do between now and when the RFP comes out. And as we said last time, one of the biggest things that I would suggest is getting in touch with your EPA job contact. They call them job training coordinators. They have a lot of responsibilities. They they work primarily with brownfields, and they work primarily with the environmental job training programs. And, of course, we've got the 10 regions, so that each region's covering about 5 states, and that there is one coordinator. Sometimes there's a coordinator and a staff assistant, and they keep touch with all the job training programs in the region. And they kind of look at them as their babies, and they track them and see how they're doing. And, of course, rather than going to Washington, anyone that's got a job training program would work through the regional office. And so they would talk to their regional coordinators. And we suggest, of course, that early on, if you have a program, it's always good to touch base with them. Now, everyone that's had programs, they've been to our annual meetings, and GLO does a great job of coordinating, putting everyone together in different tables with their job training coordinator. And hopefully your coordinators have talked to you if you've got a grant. But if you don't have a grant and you're thinking of submitting a grant, or you've got questions about your grant, you really want to contact that job training coordinator. And, of course, their contact information is in the post-session notes. And you don't have to feel any obligation. You just call them up and say that who you are and we're just thinking of it, or we intend to submit a grant for the next go-around, or we have a grant and we're thinking of changing it a certain way and we want to improve it, and we want to just touch base with you. And it's really good to just touch base with them every once in a while. We wish them a happy Christmas time and happy holiday, and tell them what you're doing. They really like to keep in touch. They may not be calling you because they got lots of things on their plate, but if you call them, they'd be happy to talk to you just to say hello, just to see what you're doing, when your next graduation class is going to be, what you're doing, how's placement. They're going to always ask about jobs. They're always interested in jobs and what's going on. It's very important for them to try to collect anecdotal information about what's going on in the regions. Most recently, for example, Joe from EPA sent out a request. Was anyone out there working with Sandy? Sandy the storm. And he was interested in talking to people. Now, the people in Washington are working with Congress, and they're working with the administrator. And the questions they get are generally around how many people are replacing, are people getting jobs in water or solid waste, these general programmatic questions. Whenever there's a natural disaster, of course, the question comes up, is anyone involved, or are any of our programs involved? And unfortunately, Sarah is not on this call, but Sarah Ashbrook from Florida State College, one of our grantees in Jacksonville, Florida, she responded, and they sent 7 people to the Northeast with one of their partner companies, CDS Environmental Services. And this is generally what happens when you start a program. You get to know your key employers in the area. And if there's a disaster or some storm or something, now we're talking about Florida, all of a sudden the word gets out, do you have anyone in your community that's got the Hazwoper? And do they have anything else? Do you have any graduates? We need people, because generally all of a sudden people are looking for people that can work with hazardous materials. So the goal, it goes out. It's interesting because here's a storm in Sandy in Northeast, and the call went out to all of the regions. Do you have anyone? And they sent 7 people with this environmental firm, put them on a payroll right away. They had two of the additional people working for Verizon. They had a flooded communications hub, and they had 2 people working there, and they had someone working on the front line on fuel spills. So this is an example of what happens when you start training. As soon as they get that Haswell upper training, they may be recruited to in an emergency. Same thing happened with Katrina on a much larger scale. We had people from California, from the Northeast, the Southeast, Southwest, all virtually all over the country. Many people from the Midwest went down to Louisiana to work primarily because of the oil spills. It's important to keep in touch with that regional rep and let them know what you're doing and what you're intending to do. And this is a good time to do it because, as we've said before, as soon as that RFP gets out, they really can't talk to you about your specific program. We can, but others can't. So,
Houston McHale, North Omaha Contractors Line. Sorry, y'all, for being late.
That's okay. Where are you from? What town?
Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha, okay. You're in oil country, aren't you?
Hell yeah.
Are you going to be training people for oil spills, working the oil?
Yeah, well, I had applied for the Brownsville grant last year or something, and I didn't get it, but some of the partners that used me in their grant, like I used them, they did. So, yeah, we train the plant and all of that. We train in weatherization, oil spills, 40-hour Haswapper, the 8-hour lead safe practices, just the whole variety. This year we're going into underground storage due to the fact that Omaha got $1 billion to do the sewer separation program. So, yeah, we're going into a variety of training. I have like 250 disadvantaged people in my organization. And they are like single baby mothers and stuff like that, high school dropouts. We help them with a higher education. And so this grant money right here is what we're trying to apply for again this year so that we can train these folks and hopefully getting them started in a career.
Excellent. Excellent. And now this is a good example of many programs that they've got something going. They got started. You've got your training, but this program would help you go to the next level. And you've got a lot of things in place, and it's a matter of tweaking it. And now the next cycle, which will begin in January, on January 9th, as soon as the RFP comes out, which should come out in mid-January, we're going to be going over that RFP. And the thing about it, and since you applied last year, you probably know, every sentence that they ask for something, you have to respond to that. And what happens is, unfortunately, because they get a bunch of grants, they have to figure out some subjective way of awarding these grants. And it would be nice if they could make a site visit to all these places and say, hey, you've got a really good program. We want to give you this funding. They can't do that. That's the way they should do it, but they can't. So they have to make it almost like a multiple choice quiz so that when they get 10 people in a room and they go through these and they have to establish all this criteria, the qualifying criteria to see if you qualify, and then they go into the ranking criteria, and there's where they're going to grade you. And one of the things we'll be talking about in the next cycle is going to be this whole idea of every sentence has to be responded to exactly with a response. And you have to assume that they have not read the whole grant. So because they tear these things apart and different people look at different questions. So what happens usually, and it sounds like you've got a great program going. What happens is, if you, even though you have a great program, the people that are reading and evaluating these grants are going by what's on paper, and they unfortunately can't see beyond that paper. So there's a certain amount of the part of writing this grant in terms of being extremely specific to answering every question, And one of the things that I was mentioning as you came on the call, it's very important that you contact your regional rep, and those will be in the post-session notes of who to call. And I would explain to them what you explained to me and to the group, that this is what you're doing. You've been doing this. You've got a great program. You've got this incredible need, and you applied, and you need some help. And they'll probably refer you to this call that we're going to be the new cycle. But before the RFP comes out, the regional rep can help you a little bit. As soon as the RFP comes out, they can't help individual communities anymore because it would be unfair advantage to other people. The only thing they could do is they have some webinars and they could talk to groups, but they can't talk to individuals. But until the RFP comes out, they can. So it's a real good time to contact them and just say hello. Tell them that you're on a PLC call and that they told you that you need to contact the regional rep and you just wanted to touch base with them and tell them what you're doing. And they'll get you on a list, and they might be able to help you. Sometimes they might have some old grants, or they, of course, did they go over your old grant and tell you what was wrong with it or what needed beefing up in your old grant?
No, I didn't get a chance to go over it with nobody, but you're right. That's right. I remember right when I was trying to get with them last year, it had just came out, and they told me they couldn't do nothing else with me. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Once that goes, it's like a curtain that comes down, and of course, at that time, we're third party and we don't speak for EPA, so we can talk about those issues. We're going to go over those issues point by point of what you have to do, and it's very important to answer all the questions, and very important to describe as accurately can your community, because they look at these things. And of course, keeping in mind that this is a jobs program and they are really focused on jobs. Those of you that have grants, when we go to the annual meeting, it seems like all EPA people do is talk about jobs, because they're getting pressure from above to place people. We're very much interested in training people and placing them, but they are really focused on the placement. We tend to be interested in the quality of the program and the curriculum, and you don't hear them talking too much about those kind of things. They're looking at placements, but which is very important. But we'll also focus on the importance of the types of training you're doing, and of course, in Nebraska, you've got a very specific need. One of the things that we just wanted to touch on in the couple minutes we had left is what should you be doing between now and when the new cycle begins on January 9th? And over this holiday, what I would suggest you all do is just some soul searching and some research, general research. And what I'm talking about is look in your community, see if you've got any competition. Who else is doing training in your community? What groups are out? Do you have a goodwill out there? Do you have Do you have some sort of construction program out there? Do you have a youth build program out there? If you've got those things out there, you may want to see what kind of training they're doing. And it goes two ways. And last time we were talking to the Hunters Point family, and it was interesting. I like to talk to them because they did all the right things. They were kind of like where you are in Nebraska. They had this really big need. They applied. They didn't get it, but they did a survey of their community, and they found out, I don't want to really call it competition, but it is. They found out who in their community is doing training, and they found out that some of the people in their community they didn't want to partner with, but others they did. And it was important to kind of do a scan and find out who in their community would be best to partner with. So those are kind of things, before you get too far into this, it's good to sit back and kind of get these general things, because once you get into it and start making commitments to partners, they're kind of on board, and you may wish you didn't get them on board. So it's this holiday time is a good time to see who the players are, who's out there. If you can, you might make a call to the Office of Economic Development in either your city or in your county and see if they're doing any work in brownfields. This fall, there were some grants that were submitted. They're not awarded yet. But just like our grant, the RFPs went out in November, and they were for assessment, they were for planning, they were for what they call revolving loan funds, and they were for cleanup. And these are all different activities that happen in brownfields areas. And communities submitted grants to get those. They're similar to the job training grants, so some of them around $200,000. But you might want to try to find out if your community submitted a grant to any of these. Whether if it was cleanup, it would be great, because if they submitted a grant for cleanup, you want to hook up with them, find out who's doing the administration of that grant, and you're going to want to get them on board. And when we start talking about this, we're going to be talking about contacting them, about maybe having some public hearings, getting in front of city council. These are things you're going to want to do, and they take some time to do. So it's not something you can do in 2 weeks. It takes a little while. So this is a good time between now and then, one, contact your regional rep, and then two, do this general research, like who in your community is out there doing training? Who's doing the hiring? You know, do you have someone like CDS Environmental that's really into environmental cleanup?
You know, well, can I ask you this question out here? Like
yes, sir.
Our EPA grant cleanup people, like, they was out here called Pruden Technologies, Environmental Restoration, and Coastal. So what I'm hearing is this year they really turned back some of the cleanup money, because it's just like it ain't too much more of that here in Omaha no more. And, you know, we get a little bit for paint stabilization, lead project, but is still, again, is one company that owns that we're not owned, but that gets that grant. And, you know, that's the reason why we're sitting here trying to train, because there's several companies around here, but then they never have enough employees. They turn the money back, the grant money back, and here we is. We got 260. We hold monthly meetings, and these folks are just crying just to go to work.
That's right. And what you need to do is you need to get in touch with all of those employers, potential employers, and what you want to do is get them into your program. And what we're going to talk about is getting them to come and talk to you guys. Ask them if they could come and talk to your class. Some of the best programs out there, and these are for people who have grants, a really cool strategy is calling them up and saying, you know, this is our program. Could you send someone over here to speak, or could you be on our advisory board? And what you want to do is you want them to bind with your program, get to know the guys in your program, and pretty soon they're going to be hiring the guys in your program. And it's a fast track. You want to get them to know you, who you are, and not only know that you're there, but you want them to actually, and it's free. Their people love to come to these programs and talk or teach or give a little talk about what they do. Some have hospitality nights. But you want to get them into your program as much as possible. And you're going to find that a lot of them end up donating equipment, and they end up donating facilities, and they hire you guys. I mean, it's great, because they kind of look at it and say, hey, this is a good program. And, you know, they're giving these guys all these certifications, and we would have to spend quite a bit of money to do the same thing. So, but right now, you know, do this general scan. Definitely contact, and I keep saying this, contact your regional rep, because you won't be able to later on. You'll be able to contact them, but they won't be able to help you. You might even ask them if they have any grants that they can give you to look at, some successful grants. They may not do that, but you could ask them anyway. And And also check with your city council or the county and see if there's any grants that are being let or applied for in your county, and go for that. So we try to limit these calls to 30 minutes so that it's not too much of a burden on anyone's afternoon, but we're going to be meeting again January 9th. I'm going to send everyone notes on what some of the things we talked about. There's going to be some announcements in there of things going on, and also we're going to, as soon as the RFP comes out, we're going to send you some notices, so you might get some email over the holiday about different things, and we'll talk to you all next year. Anything anyone want to mention or bring up or something they want to
see?
How
was your thing?
It was nice.
You selling something?
Not yet. I've opened. I gotta get the pictures off the line now.
Excuse me.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They do.
Everybody have a happy holiday.
Same to you. Talk to you next year. Bye.
All right.
Happy holiday.
Bye.
Thank you.
Be safe. All right. Take care now.
Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye.
See, man, I keep getting